There could be a deal in the works to buy Yahoo.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. Yahoo might be on the table. A few private equity firms are mulling over a deal to buy out the number two search engine. Reporter Janet Babin joins us live from North Carolina Public Radio. Good morning, Janet.
Good morning, Bill.
So who might buy Yahoo?
Well, several proposals are just taking shape now, so it's not clear yet. But the news comes from unnamed sources as well, and several wires are reporting that big player private equity firms have approached media companies like AOL and News Corp to feel out whether they might be interested in buying out Yahoo.
I know Yahoo's been trying to stage a comeback. Why is takeover talk surfacing now?
Right. As you say, Yahoo's been struggling lately with a comeback, and it's been struggling to try and make money in the shadow of Google. You know, when you go to Yahoo's website, it says, oh, welcome to the world's most visited homepage. We've got 6 million users. 600 million,
yeah.
Rather, right. So the company, though, has had trouble making money off of all those millions of users. And with mobile apps becoming more important, you have to wonder if Yahoo's sort of desktop-based model is outdated and whether any firm could really turn all those millions of users into money or into make money from them.
Mm-hmm. And what is Yahoo saying about all of this?
Well, Bloomberg is reporting that Yahoo is working with Goldman Sachs to sort of stave off any possible takeover approach. And, you know, the recent talks from these unnamed sources would value Yahoo shares at far less than an offer Microsoft made for Yahoo back in 2008. And that was rejected at the time.
Reporter Janet Babin talking to us live. Thank you, Janet.
Thank you, Bill.
Some of the country's top CEOs are heading to Chicago this morning. They are meeting as part of what's called the Business Council. Chicago Public Radio's Tony Arnold reports on what happens when you get 150 of the country's top CEOs in the same room.
Think of the Business Council as sort of the Justice League of the business community, drawing big names from global companies, from Boeing to J.P. Morgan to John Deere.
It gives you a fantastic ability to be able to put everything in context across the total economy, as opposed to just focusing on your individual company.
Harry Kramer was a member of the Business Council for 8 years when he was CEO of Baxter Laboratories. He now teaches at Northwestern University. Kramer says the central question for a meeting of private sector leaders is figuring out how each company is connected to other countries and comparing notes on things like growth projections and interest rates.
What could happen to inflation over time given the size of the deficits that many of these countries have around the world?
On tap are some panel discussions, including one about the globalization of job skills. In Chicago, I'm Tony Arnold from Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Stocks, once again, are mostly higher this morning in Europe and Asia. The U.S. dollar continues to slide compared to other currencies. While the Federal Reserve here considers more stimulus, Singapore went the other way today and announced it's tightening its monetary policy. Yesterday, Wall Street stocks reacted to some pretty good corporate profits. The Dow Industrials rose 75 points to close at 11,096.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Vanguard, whose mission is to simplify investing and to help people reach their financial goals at vanguard.com/public radio. By the Wall Street Journal Weekend, offering four sections of ideas and information, available at newsstands every Saturday. And by LendingTree, providing up to four loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 800-555-TREE.
If you want to get ahead, get a hat. That was a British advertising slogan from the 1940s, when virtually every adult male wore some formal headgear. Men's hats fell dramatically out of fashion in the 60s. But in recent years, there has been a revival, much to the relief of one offbeat little shop in the southern English town of Bridport. Marketplace's Europe correspondent Stephen Beard paid a visit.
There's been a Snooks Outfitters in Bridport for over a century. Today, Roger Snook upholds the family tradition, supplying accessories and advice for the well-dressed English gentleman.
Now, the art of taking snuff, offer it to the nose, one side, and inhale, then t'other, and inhale.
snuff and sock suspenders, cravats and cummerbunds. But Snook's most important product by far is the hat.
Elegance, class, style, character. It is just a magnificent appendage to have on your head.
Convincing his customers of that is Snook's mission in life.
Would you mind just slipping that one on, sir? Thank you.
He stocks a vast range, trilbies and fedoras, Hombergs, bowlers, boaters and a huge array of Panamas, including the Panama planter.
Beautiful shape. With a cheroot in your mouth, you'd look plantation owner guaranteed, sir.
That's the planter.
Men's hat sales began to plummet in Britain when JFK arrived in the White House hatless. The decline quickened here throughout the 60s, in line with the slacker approach to dress. But Snook says things are now looking up.
I'd say over the last 7 years, my sales have gone up 70%.
And it's not just Snooks. Nationally, hat sales have jumped to well over $80 million a year. No one can fully explain it, but men's hats are staging a comeback in Britain.
The wide-brim English trilby is to your satisfaction, sir?
It's a beautiful hat.
Roger Snook has just organised the UK's first hat festival, and it was a big success. He's confident that his deeply traditional little business, selling snuff and sock suspenders, will survive the 21st century, thanks to the hat.
May I wish you a long and happy association with your new hat, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
At Snook's Outfitters in Bridport, England, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
And finally, airline passengers might someday carry liquids once again. Yesterday, Los Alamos National Laboratory demoed a $14 million machine that scans the liquid in your carry-on luggage. In 15 seconds, it can tell you whether it's a potential bomb or, say, Head and Shoulders. USA Today says this machine can also tell the difference between Pepsi and Squirt, between red wine and white. Sounds like another opportunity for data mining. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
Economic indicators are practically household words nowadays, right? We all know gross domestic product. But for some enterprising economists, they're just mainstream noise.
You know, kind of the Justin Bieber, Lady Gaga on the radio all the time.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. Alternative indexes on our series Economy 4.0. That's next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.